Welcome to Farmscape Online. I'm Bruce Cochran. My guest is Dr. Joe Rubin, an assistant professor in the Department of Veterinary Microbiology with the University of Saskatchewan's Western College of Veterinary Medicine. Thanks for joining us, Dr. Rubin.
Thanks so much.
As part of research being conducted on behalf of Swine Innovation Pork, scientists with the University of Saskatchewan, with support from Elanco Animal Health, are working to identify the most effective antimicrobials for treating specific strains of Brachyspira. First of all, what was the motivation behind this work, and what are the goals?
So the main motivation behind this work really stemmed out of some cases of Brachyspira-associated disease that were identified back in the late 2000s. And what we found is that there seemed to be a novel strain of Brachyspira. And over the next couple of years, this was identified both by researchers at the University of Saskatchewan, as well as independently by some researchers in the Midwestern United States, to be a new species of Brachyspira that we call Brachyspira hampsoni. And really what all of these new developments highlighted for us were some of the diagnostic challenges associated with Brachyspira. So the emergence of this new species was a pretty serious limitation for our existing diagnostic techniques. And in line with that, we realized that we needed some methods that would allow us to give producers and swine practitioners laboratory evidence to help them select the most appropriate antimicrobials to use for treating affected herds. And that was really what led to this study. Really, the overall goal, I suppose, was to develop some diagnostic techniques that would allow veterinary microbiologists to perform susceptibility testing and then provide that information on to producers so that antibiotics could be used kind of as economically and as safely and as efficaciously as possible.
Where does the project stand at this point? How close to completion, and what have been the factors there?
So at this point, the main part of the project has been completed. We actually have been able to develop a new susceptibility test method, which has worked really well in our lab. Have a very dedicated student, Ruwini Gamage, who's been working on this for the last 3.5 years. And we've actually been able to start piloting offering the availability of this test to a small number of practitioners in Western Canada. So our next step is really to try and put this into our routine diagnostic offering and make it something that's sort of available as part of our sort of conventional test package. And that's what we're working on presently. Going forward, what we'd really like to do is better define some of the genetic determinants of antibiotic resistance. So understanding what the genes are and what some of the mechanisms are, the strategies that Brachyspira uses to make our drugs ineffective.
What does this actual test involve? How is it conducted? And just how effective has it been shown to be?
So the test that we've been doing, the susceptibility testing, it's a very long process, and that's one of the big difficulties that's really associated with any work with Brachyspira. It is a very slow-growing organism, and so there's always going to be a problem with turnaround time when we're talking about doing anything where we have to characterize the organism itself. The test has worked very well. We've shown that it can be done reproducibly and consistently, so we really do believe the results we're getting. There's still some challenges with how we actually interpret those results. So with other bacteria, we have some standardized guidelines that help us to interpret our susceptibility test results and tell us whether an organism is susceptible or resistant. With Brachyspira, we don't have enough information to do that yet. So we're sort of categorizing our isolates as more or less resistant at this stage without really with some caveats attached to that this isn't quite as well worked out.
Why are diagnostics so important in dealing with this particular pathogen, and what are the implications there?
I think there's a couple of reasons. One would be having diagnostics and having some laboratory evidence to guide the selection of an antibiotic allows a practitioner to select the most appropriate and most efficacious drug as soon as possible. So there's economic advantages in terms of decreasing the amount of time until the most appropriate therapy is applied. So hopefully there's a lower burden of disease. There's also the issue of reducing the selection pressure for antimicrobial resistance. So if we use the most appropriate drug first and avoid using potentially multiple courses of less efficacious drugs, we have less selection pressure for resistance, which is something that certainly the public is becoming more and more aware of, and something that we want to avoid as good stewards of antimicrobials.
What are the implications related to antimicrobial use, and what's the significance of that?
Well, these are all questions that we, at least in the field of Brachyspira clinical disease, don't really have a good handle on. And one of the reasons for that, I suppose, is that up until this point, we haven't had good diagnostic strategies. So if resistance was present, we simply wouldn't have known that it was there because we haven't had the tests available to us in order to determine that. Anecdotally, there's evidence of increasing resistance in Europe as well as in the United States among Brachyspira. And the implication of that is that it means there's fewer treatment options available for Brachyspira-associated disease. So that's obviously a big challenge for practitioners.
What are the next steps in this work?
Our next steps are really trying to roll out the test methods that we've developed and hopefully make them more broadly available to the Western Canadian swine industry. We're also continuing to do some of our genetic characterization of Brachyspira isolates that we've collected and tested. We're going to be moving forward with some whole genome sequencing in the next couple of weeks, really trying to understand the genetic basis and the molecular mechanisms for the phenotypes that we've seen.
What are the anticipated time frames for availability, more widespread availability of these tests?
Yeah, that's a really good question. So right now, we've done a little bit of an economic analysis, and we're just in the process of analyzing that data and trying to come up with the most efficient diagnostic workflow so that we can get the price of the testing down to a point where it would be something that would be palatable for industry to actually, that they'd be able to afford it and that it would be a reasonable cost. Over the next few months, I'm hoping that that'll be something we can start to offer. Probably by early 2019, I would say, it should be more widely available.
How can anyone interested get more information?
They can certainly contact me at the University of Saskatchewan or anyone in the Brachyspira Research Group.
And is there anything you would like to add?
I'd just really like to thank both our funding agencies, so Agriculture and Agri-Food Canada and Elanco, for supporting this really important research, and all of our collaborators, both at the Western College of Veterinary Medicine and the Western Canadian Swine Veterinary Community, who have been really supportive in submitting samples to us and giving us some diagnostic material to work with, and really all of the fodder that we've needed in order to perform this investigation.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Our guest has been Dr. Joe Rubin, an assistant professor in the Department of Veterinary Microbiology with the University of Saskatchewan's Western College of Veterinary Medicine. For Farmscape Online, I'm Bruce Cochran.